Good morning and welcome to Oak Tree. If you watch the 2020 wrap-up of the news this year on December the 31st, I'm sure you'll be reminded that this was the week Melbourne got masked. Here we are in lockdown, tentatively stepping out to get supplies and then, hopefully, scurrying straight back home. There's fear, loss of freedom, partial imprisonment. The supermarket's like a quick break, perhaps, from being exiled at home. Life has been turned upside down. These are the days we're living in. We're unable to meet at church, unable to worship where we love to worship, unable to worship in the way we love to worship, and we're navigating how to be God's people in a very different landscape. A foreign nation starting to breathe down our necks. People asleep on their watch, also known as some serious quarantine mishaps. And hey presto, our freedom just went for a long walk, leaving us feeling angry, confused, and wondering where God is in this, or if he's forgotten about us, wondering how we got here. It strikes me this very affected lifestyle has been lived out before. Away from the temple, the presence of God, away from their land, the law, and everything really, the Israelites were taken into exile, greatly experiencing the loss of everything that had defined life for them. How would they worship Yahweh in a foreign place, away from all of that? Enduring decades of grief, overcome by confusion and wondering how and why it all happened, God sent his prophets to speak into this situation. In a letter sent by the prophet Jeremiah to all from Jerusalem who Nebuchadnezzar had sent away to Babylon, Jeremiah said, "Get on with life where you are right now." Some serious repentance was needed, but part of Jeremiah's message was the call to Israel to live in the present and put down roots. "God has a future for you," he said, "but he has some corrective work to do in you first, so settle down and live in the present." Here it is in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 to 7. "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." Well, that sounds like a call to our online prayer meetings, if ever I've heard one. "Seek the peace and prosperity of your city and pray for it." The city you're in matters to the Lord. Not just Jerusalem, where the temple is, but Babylon, Jeremiah was telling them, also matters to God. So not just the church in Caulfield or Elsternwick for us, but our city region, Brighton, Glen Iris, Malvern, Carnegie, South Yarra, Moorabbin, Cheltenham, Elwood. God, through Jeremiah, calls us to engage in what's going on in our city, to be part of the community. Jeremiah told the people of God to bring increase even during the lockdown of exile. Well, we're not just away from the temple, as in away from St. Mary's or St. Clement's, are we? There's something additional going on. We're also sensing an imprisonment in our homes. Paul knows all too well about lockdown, in prison in his case, but he found contentment in every circumstance. He made very great use of his time. He wrote letters, critically important ones too. Letters which have changed the lives of a good number of people in the early church and billions of lives since then. These letters encouraged people in how to pursue the life God offers us, how to find meaning and purpose in every season, and what a decision to follow Jesus means on a practical level, day in, day out. Paul got on and lived in the present despite being in chains, because he knew God had a call on his life, even there under house arrest. Those letters were, of course, to the Ephesians, the Colossians, and the people of Philippi. And not stopping at that, he also witnessed to every person who he came into contact with during his lockdown. A prisoner for the Lord, he calls himself, in chains for Christ, facing possible death. What can we take away from his attitude? If you feel like a prisoner in your home right now, let it be for the Lord. I want to suggest that he'll have something valuable for you to do, because as Paul continues in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1, as a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Well, what's that calling for you and I at the moment? Part of it, I want to suggest, is to live at peace with God, with yourself, and with those around you during your season of home imprisonment, bearing with one another in love. Next, Paul looked at what he could do. Well, he could give thanks. He could pray, staying filled with the Spirit. He could write letters and witness, and he did it all. These things became the call on his life in that season. He seized that season, and it bore incredible fruit. It still does. You see, where we might see chains and lockdown right now here, Paul saw opportunities for the advancement of the kingdom. Where we tend to see captivity, the Holy Spirit sees opportunity. Paul wrote this to the Philippians: conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. I wonder what it would look like if he wrote that to Oaktree today. Imagine we each open an email from him today, July the 26th, 2020. It goes like this: Oaktree, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others, clothing yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and love. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity, for it is God who's working in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. These were Paul's words to the church as his chains rattled around him. Experiencing a form of imprisonment at home and a form of exile from church, I think Jesus brings together for us what our response should be while we hold on to what we've just observed from Paul and from Jeremiah. Matthew chapters 24 and 25 are devoted to Jesus calling us to be ready for his return. The challenging passage we heard earlier from Matthew 25 verses 31 to 46 looks at the great day of judgment that's ahead. That day when Jesus will return in the fullness of his glory and majesty to consider and to weigh with eternal consequences how we've spent our time on earth. Every single person will be brought before him. And when he comes, he'll separate people as a shepherd separates his sheep from his goats. There will be this very marked division, and to those on his right, the sheep, he will announce that it's time for them to take up their inheritance in the kingdom, which has been prepared for them since the creation of the world. Those on his left will go to eternal destruction. Well, I'm not going to focus today on the judgment aspect of this passage, although that is the main focus of it. Instead, I want to look at what Jesus is calling his disciples to here and what he's calling us today to live out also. What instruction do we have here? What's the call on our lives, both in season and out, in good times and in bad? He says to those on his right, the sheep, in verses 35 and 36, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." This is the definition of what it is to be one of the sheep, one who will receive the kingdom on this coming day of judgment. This is the dividing line between who is in and who is out. The criteria for inheriting the kingdom is feeding the hungry, giving drinks to the thirsty, caring for the homeless, the sick, and those in prison is listed here as a big part of the job description of a believer. And there are other things too, of course, like belief that Jesus is God's Son who died and rose again for our sins. That too we would include if we were to write out that job description. A job description that might open with, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Well, how do we do this in lockdown? We start in our homes, of course, and among ourselves, among the Oak Tree community. That's our starting point. It's going to take the whole of the Oak Tree community to look after the whole of Oak Tree's community. Oak Tree parents, for example, are doing it tough. Maybe you could arrange to drop a meal into one of our families now and then if you're in a position to do so, to help ease their load a touch. But Jeremiah and Paul didn't limit their vision just to life on the home front. They spoke and acted in ways that would bring God's activity into the lives of those around them in powerful ways. Jeremiah, with a prophetic call to his community to contribute to community life in exile. And Paul, with letters, teaching, encouraging, building people up, and fully participating in God's call on his life to influence culture for God, devoting his life to the transformation of the world around him. Who'd have thought that those prison letters would still be affecting billions of people today, depositing the kingdom of God, his reign and rule, into every believing heart that reads them? The challenge, of course, is that we are living in days where this practical help to feed, to clothe, to house, and more is needed now more than ever, yet here we are locked away. So how do we care for the homeless? How do we visit someone in prison? How do we live out this call that's woven through the Bible, often described as caring for the orphan, the widow, and the foreigner? Surely God doesn't want us to just kind of park Matthew 25, 31 to 46 until COVID's passed. Well, let's find out how some at Oak Tree are navigating living this out, pouring out God's love during this season. Chris Thompson comes to my mind quickly on this topic, and Christine Doyle too. The two of them usually are involved with feeding the homeless, although that can't happen during lockdown. But Chris is involved with the Bayside Refugee and Asylum Seekers Support Group that provide food for, well, basically the foreigner, the stranger, the hungry, and the thirsty. Then we've got Michelle Duggan, who's very familiar with a website called Angel Next Door. This is a group who connect those who are in need with those who can offer help in a range of all sorts of practical ways. A really great website to check out. Then we've got Matt Nicholas, who is a social worker with the Salvos. And his advice to anyone who comes across a homeless person is to, well, certainly say hello, get down, ask them their name, pray for them, but contact Launch Housing. That's the organisation that can help them get off the street. And then we've got Simon Mice, who volunteers. He helps out with the organisation Collective Shout. Now, they're a campaigns movement against the objectification of women and the sexualisation of girls. Collective Shout is really of particular importance at the moment. There are lots of lobbying opportunities there, and none of it's affected by lockdown. It's all done online. So that's a great way that you can get involved in helping people who are oppressed at the moment. And then we have some at Oak Tree who are working in organisations. You could get in touch. You could get in touch through me and find out how to help at Melbourne City Mission, at Pink Cross, and at World Vision. These are organisations that Oak Tree people are working for, and there are more. So let me know if you'd like information on how to help there during lockdown. And I know that we also have many people who serve in our communities in all sorts of ways outside of the current lockdown. We've got, for example, Cecilia, who volunteers at the Salvos, and Jack Winfield, one of our young adults who has been volunteering with Vinnie's. Then we've got Effie and Susanna, who serve at Caulfield Park Community School, which Oak Tree has a missions link with. And there are many others of you too who help out in amazing ways when you've got time. Some of us struggle at times to find out how to live out our faith in practical ways, yet I think there's probably no shortage of opportunities around us. Caring for the sick, however, is very challenging right now. You might be left with only phone contact as a way to care for someone, and that could be terribly hard. In other ideas, another important consideration is caring for the carers. That's an easily overlooked group who need lots of help. Also, offering to pray for people in a critical time, whether they're believers or not, is hugely encouraging to most people. And social media users know the Love Your Neighbour movement, which puts out requests for help, connecting those who can offer with those who need help. Anglicare Victoria have said this week that they're looking for volunteers too. International students are struggling. I suggest you Google and explore how to help there if you'd like to get involved. But in all of this, please do comply with the frequently changing requirements of the laws regarding lockdown. I'm not suggesting anyone should do anything outside of the law. And let's turn now to the idea of visiting someone in prison. Let me tell you about Billy. Billy is not his real name, but he spent a lot of time in solitary confinement. Prison fellowship volunteers would visit him regularly to chat. When I first met Billy, he was a violent type, selfish, said volunteer Paul. Serving a very long sentence was taking its toll on Billy. He'd spent more than half of his sentence in solitary confinement and garnered a fearsome reputation in the unit. After his most recent time in solitary, which lasted 9 long months, Billy was moved into a new unit. He quickly became friends with his cellmate, Pat. The men bonded over a mutual love for 90s heavy metal music and coffee. And Billy noticed his cellmate Pat begin to change. These were dramatic changes in his personality, his well-being, and general purpose and direction in life. Billy also noticed that Pat used to get a lot of visitors. They came through prison fellowship. Billy noticed how these visitors had encouraged Pat to change his ways of angry outbursts and hot temper incidents, and how Pat's growing faith in Jesus influenced his day-to-day life. Billy wanted what Pat had found. Well, Pat and another inmate were able to set up a church service in the prison with the blessing of prison authorities. Pat encouraged Billy to explore his faith and invited him along. The change was gradual but dramatic. Billy said, "I gave my heart to Jesus and I thank him every day for salvation." Paul, the volunteer, said, "It's a true conversion. The enemy still wants to attack him, but he fights it. I've seen a big change in him. Now he's a gentle giant. That's the fruit, you see. He's humbled by the power of God. Before, if you looked at him, he'd want to bash you. Now he's in control of himself. He's got a good standing with the officers in the unit. He's polite, gentle, and humble." Billy's now involved heavily in his unit's church service. He reads the Bible and does a bit of the preaching. Billy's regular gospel messages in his prison church service testify to God's power to redeem anyone who comes to him. Well, what a great testimony from Prison Fellowship Australia's website. And chaplains are reporting that prisoners right now are a lot more interested in reading the Bible, attending Bible studies, and making decisions to follow Jesus than they were before COVID erupted. Unfortunately, prison visits are, of course, not an option at present. So what might God be asking any of us who are feeling a sheep-like nudge to visit someone in prison? We do still have options, so visit Prison Fellowship Australia's website to find out more. We were made to love and care for each other, for the glory of God. And in doing so, it turns out we are feeding, loving, and caring for Jesus himself. To stop and speak with the homeless person sitting on the footpath beside the supermarket is to stop and speak with Jesus himself, the King who was born in a stable. To partner with Prison Fellowship or Anglicare Victoria or Angel Next Door is to minister or to wait on Jesus himself. I believe we have good opportunities even now to bring life, hope and transformation. People around us are feeling hopeless, without purpose, in despair. And we get to bring Jesus to them through acts of kindness. And as we help others, we can point them to Jesus. Now let's look at lockdown in the New Testament too. Think of the believers in the upper room. In Acts chapter 1 verses 4 to 5, Jesus said to his followers, "Do not leave Jerusalem." Wow, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? 120 people all together in one place, constantly in prayer, and the Spirit fell on them during Pentecost. The Bible is full of God moving in remarkable ways during lockdowns and exiles. There is a place of meaning and purpose in this season. Parents helping your kids, husbands and wives helping each other, those who can reaching out beyond the home front into the Oak Tree community and beyond. There is a place of meaning and purpose just waiting for us. A frontier that's sitting there for us to step beyond so that we don't see the grey of winter around us. We'll see instead the light that we're walking in as his sheep, called to serve and bless and usher in God's kingdom. We're alive at this time for a reason. I urge you to spend time reading through the accounts of those who've lived through lockdown. Noah, Jacob, Joseph, Ezekiel, Daniel, Paul, and others. Feed on this stuff. Go through these stories one by one, looking at how these people respond and what the Lord does in the midst of their trials. If you're a family, do it together and let this be a time of growth in a way you've never experienced as you set your eyes on Jesus alone and his call to reach out to others. Finally, there's Jesus who went through the ultimate lockdown in the tomb. What was the outcome? Life broke forth. He overturned death itself, providing proof that sin and evil had been dealt with on the cross. Set your mind on these things so that you start to live differently in this season, living from life, not from death. Reaching out to pour the life of God into those around you. Is there any more worthy cause to live for? Let's pray. Lord God, our movement has been so decreased. Please refine our contact with those around us so that we're pouring your love out. Let it be a contagious movement of love and joy. Our footprint's been greatly diminished. Lord, please use that we might get our focus fully on you. Let us be hemmed in close to you, Jesus, so that we'll start to deposit your kingdom in great measure as we care for the needy as time allows. Let us be carriers of your presence, your glory, and your wonder so that we learn how to transform the culture in our workplaces, even through Zoom. Where our reach has been reduced so that we can't see far beyond the end of our street. Help us to know how to stop for the one in front of us, at the supermarket, on our walk, or on social media. Lord, show us who needs us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. As we care for that one in front of us, made in the image of Christ, thank you that we get to pour out love on Jesus himself. Thank you, God, that even in this season, you have meaning and purpose in mind for us, for your glory and for increase, for the increase of your goodness around us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.